people that are asking for our opinions, that's a dangerous game.
A modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
Batman and Superman face their doomsday.
Yes, they do.
We talk about a Deadpool double feature.
Mm-hmm.
The canceled Avengers video game resurfaces.
Uh-huh.
And more.
I just made the weirdest reaction to that video game news. I think it's because, like, I finally got around to, like, watching that little bit of footage, so now I have like very strong opinions on it.
Yeah, that was like a 15-minute video too. It was like really more in depth than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was expecting to maybe see like a little bit of like maybe like a GIF here and there. Like, no, this guy assembled like a whole narrative around this game. It's a good video, and it'll be linked in the show notes.
That it will be. That it will be. Man, I tell you what, I want to talk about my comic UI post this week. I made an article talking about Batman and Superman, how it's like Marvel Avengers, and all the hate people are spewing all over it, despite it being, you know, a satire, like, you know, not taking it seriously. So I just think it's hilarious. Like, it's getting more views and more, like, comments and like interactions and anything else, but it's all hate. Like, I just think it's hilarious.
And plus, like, half of those people probably didn't even click into the link to read it.
Yeah, I think some of them even said, I didn't read this. This was obviously written by a Marvel fanboy. I'm like, you would see that I put it's satire, but whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, it's a shame that now you have to be so upfront and probably put it in the title. Like, this is satire.
I know. I'll just put it on The Onion and see if they post it for me.
Oh, yeah. These are probably the same people that, like, don't understand what's going on with The Onion.
Yeah. Oh, well. I hope none of our listeners are those people.
No.
I don't think so.
Our listeners are cool.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. Also, I'm using a new microphone this week, so if you guys have any issues with it, let me know.
Yeah. I feel like this is a double-edged sword because 50% of our audio quality will increase, and I'll either sound like garbage or you'll sound better, so I don't know. Like, you're either going to bring me down or maybe bring me up with you.
I don't know. Maybe you can just hear that train a lot clearer when it drives by. I haven't heard the train in a while, so I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, it came by earlier. I mean, I had a plane fly over just a second ago.
You did. I can't wait for your sirens. The LA sirens are my favorite part about the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it's a fire truck, so at least you know they're going to, like, save someone, not to shoot someone, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, other than that, I don't really have a lot else. I mean, what about you, Mike? Anything good? You want to just get into the news or what?
I think we should just jump into the news because we got hit with a big banger this week.
That we did. Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice trailer number 2 dropped.
I tell you what, I was not expecting this.
I wasn't either. I mean, we kind of knew. Like, they told us on Jimmy Kimmel again 2 weeks in a row, releasing both of the biggest trailers for next year. Other than possibly the Star Wars Rogue One, I don't think it'll do as well, but I think these are going to be the biggest two movies, and we have both trailers debut a week apart.
Yeah, I mean, it really makes you wonder if, you know, why it seems like DC is on the defensive right now, just because they're premiering the trailer a week after Civil War, which is kind of their main competitor next year, superhero film-wise, and probably just blockbuster film-wise, too. And they premiere it a week later on the exact same show. It just seems kind of like, was all this planned ahead of time? Or, you know, were they just like, oh, crap, they came out with the trailer, we got to come out with one now, too. I feel like they're on the defensive. I feel like it would have been cooler maybe if we saw their trailer first, because I was watching it in the context of Captain America Civil War trailer, which is something that you shouldn't compare it to, because Civil War had its very first trailer, and not just like first teaser trailer, it was its first outing. It's the first time we saw footage for Civil War was on Jimmy Kimmel the week before. But now this is like the second
full trailer, but three if you count the teaser.
Yeah, and the teaser was, I mean, teasers now are pretty robust. I hardly even consider them teasers. And I'm sure we'll get into this, but I think people prefer teasers the way they are now, just because there's a lot less given away. And some people, I think, would be totally fine with only seeing teasers, and they would be totally sold on the movie. So, yeah, that's... It just seems like this is a strange third outing.
So I'm gonna call it second. I'm not gonna hold the teaser against it. But if you compare this trailer versus the first one, this one just it feels weird. It kind of feels like two smaller teasers put together. And by teaser, I mean the first part's a great teaser. The second part is like, oh, here's the whole movie.
Yeah, the first thing I thought when I played the trailer was I thought that this was going to be more of like a whole scene, because the way the trailer starts, you see Bruce Wayne, pulling up to his little manor and everything, and Clark Kent waiting for him. And I was like, oh, are we just basically getting 3 minutes of a scene? Like, this is, I guess this is an interesting trailer that they're just going to give us a chunk of the movie. But no, then it does kind of devolve into a trailer. So that just kind of started the pacing off kind of weird. And not to mention, we get a really, I'll call it a unique performance from Jesse Eisenberg and the interpretation of Lex Luthor.
I want to say that this Jesse Eisenberg is a lot like a Joker version of Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. Kind of like very high strung, very like enjoying like the chaos he's causing. Mm-hmm. But I like that. I'm going to be honest. I like that. I didn't think I would. I honestly did not think I would, but I enjoyed him and his manicness through this trailer.
Yeah, I did enjoy parts of the manicness, but I thought it could have been trimmed a little bit better. I'm sure a lot of people out there had a chance to see the re-edited version of this trailer. I don't remember who did it, but some fan out there took their stab at the trailer, and they actually did a really, really good job. They kind of moved some stuff around. They kind of cut down that peculiar Jesse Eisenberg scene at that dinner party, and they placed it towards the end of the trailer, and they totally cut out probably the next thing that we're going to talk about in the trailer. But well, I thought it worked a little bit better just pacing-wise. It was just a strange trailer. It just had a weird feeling.
Could you link that to me? I've not seen this. This is something okay. I've not seen. So we'll put it in the show notes mm-hmm. of this fan-cut trailer. So the first half is, you know, like, I guess not witty banter, but like banter between two people who obviously know who they are. I felt like Clark Kent knew he was Batman, and Batman... and Bruce Wayne knew, you know, that was Superman. Mm-hmm. It felt like it. But for a movie called Batman versus Superman, there's not a lot of them actually fighting in this trailer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the biggest point in this movie, before we get to the big elephant in the room, is that it is called Batman and Superman. And, you know, if you're part of this comic book culture and you have actually read the graphic novel that this is based on, you know how it ends. You know how it pans out. You know Batman and Superman end up being friends. They're on the freaking Justice League together. You know that they don't kill each other. But this trailer just totally just removes that from the equation. At the end of the trailer, you see Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman all standing together to face a foe at the same time. So it's just like, you know they put their differences aside. So it's just kind of like... you didn't have to show that in the trailer. You could have let us let on a little bit more. Like, they basically set up the main villain fight in this trailer, so I feel like you know all the beats that are going to happen in this film already.
Yeah, it does. Like, there's no mystery left to this. And let's get it out of the way. That's Doomsday, I'm going to be honest with you. Everyone's like, that's Doomsday. And it's funny, because we had someone point out to us that back in, I think it was episode 36, mm-hmm. we made a bet that I said it was Doomsday and you said it was Bizarro, but we're going to wait until the movie comes out.
Well, I will say this right here. So some people are saying that this character, this monster in the trailer, is basically Zack Snyder's interpretation of Doomsday and Bizarro mixed together. So I think there's a chance that we could either be both wrong or both right, because if you kind of get the context from the trailer, it looks like Lex Luthor is basically creating this creature from Zod's DNA. And we kind of have a little bit of Doomsday visually. You know, we kind of have like the little spikes on the shoulders a little bit there. But also, Doomsday, I don't believe he had laser vision in his eyeballs. And plus, Doomsday's origin is totally different. Doomsday comes from Krypton.
Again, if it depends on if it's a New 52 version they're pulling from, because you mentioned earlier that they've pulled this from a story. They're pulling from like four or five different comic books. Mm-hmm. Like the Dark Knight Returns is kind of the fight portion. In the New 52, the Doomsday is a virus, and that Superman actually becomes Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there's a lot going on here. So we're gonna have to wait to see.
Yeah. Either way, this is not a straight up Doomsday. This is an interpretation of some way, and I'm totally okay with that. I think that's gonna end up working well for the film. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say here is I obviously had problems with this trailer. I feel like I know where the movie's gonna go now, but at the same time, with all that stuff out there, I'm still excited.
Right, and I'm totally excited about this too. Like, this is one thing, like, I'm not worried about the movie. Like, I'm not concerned, but I don't feel wowed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel any emotion in this. Like, I'm going to compare it to Civil War trailer, even though that was the first Civil War trailer. Like, you can set up a really great emotional battle between Batman and Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But this just feels like a Justice League prequel. Rather than a Batman v Superman film.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And if you want to, I mean, this is something I actually looked at. The Civil War trailer got 61 million views in its first 24 hours. And we're going to talk about this later. But this one only got 23 million. It got a third of it.
Well, I also think that's due in case that we already have three different basically YouTube videos of Batman versus Superman on YouTube now, so I feel like the hype just isn't quite there. But I think that just makes sense. You know, we're getting their movie next year along with Civil War. We've seen plenty of Batman Superman already to be convinced that we're going to go see the movie. Civil War, we're just starting to see that stuff now. I'm excited that we're going to get more Civil War trailers here soon. I mean, it's like so much good stuff to complain about, I guess. It seems silly, but I don't know. Man, I'm excited. I'm going to go see it. It doesn't matter.
And apparently, I just want those facts in there I read today, that we will see all of the Justice League members except Green Lantern. They each have their own movie in this film.
Oh, wow.
So we will see Flash, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, as well as the other two.
Man, I don't know how they're going to cram all this into a movie that's supposed to be about Batman and Superman.
It'll probably just be like they're on the screen for a second in a dossier or somewhere like in the background. Yeah,
or maybe like just in a crowd or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, like kind of like, I guess The Flash did that whenever they introduced Hot Girl. They did like a cut to her while she's in the crowd.
Yeah, or they just kind of like showed her as like a little barista.
Yeah. So Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, coming out March 25th. We will be there. We will do a spoiler cast, but trailer number two, kind of a letdown.
Yeah, it just feels weird. I would recommend everyone go out and watch that re-edited trailer. It kind of changes the vibe a little bit of it, but either way, we're getting Batman and Superman fighting on screen in a big budget blockbuster movie. I mean, it's not fighting against the odds. It's gonna be good in some way or another.
Yeah, definitely. So look forward to us talking about that in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Wonder Woman.
What's going on with Wonder Woman?
So Wonder Woman we saw actually in the trailer, right? This is totally different. But new set photos confirm it's a World War I setting for her and Chris Pine.
Okay.
So it shows her in a World War I kind of like, I guess, kind of looks like a British general attire. Mm-hmm. Along with some other people in World War I, this is confirmed World War I attire, not World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Getting on like a boat at like a shipyard and stuff, like getting ready to ship off.
So I know this is a silly question, but it means Wonder Woman's not going to get a chance to meet Captain America a little bit too early.
Definitely not. I don't know what happens between her and there. She could come around in World War II. She could still be around. We don't know if she gets frozen in ice. So
yeah, I mean, obviously we have the whole problem of it being the totally wrong comic book universe. But wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? I'm sure there's some fan art drawing out there of Wonder Woman and Captain America getting a little too close.
Oh, if now that you've said that, it has to exist. So, but yeah, I mean, again, it can't happen. But I mean, it does feel again. She has a circular shield in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to World War I in the present She feels very much like the Captain America of the DC universe right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and her lasso of truth. I wonder how that works.
I don't know. They're going to have to find a way to make it cool. But I think they successfully have achieved the look of World War One. I guess that's the only thing that I can really take away from these pictures. The set decoration is good.
Yeah, I wonder. I kind of wonder how they'll use that to their advantage, because we always knew Captain America was in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Wonder Woman isn't dressing up as Wonder Woman fighting in World War One. So I wonder what they'll do with that. I don't know. I'm interested. Wonder Woman has my... I guess attention for a little mm-hmm. bit, but I don't know. We'll have to see. Another DC movie coming out next year, Suicide Squad.
Oh, man, we haven't had some Suicide Squad news in a little bit.
So the new trailer for it, again, another new trailer right before Star Wars, has been mm-hmm. classified.
Ooh.
Classified means that they submitted it for reviewings and it's kind of been approved.
So do we think we're... Is this definitely confirmed that we're getting it in front of Star Wars, or are you just kind of, like, guessing?
Well, this is one of three trailers that have been classified and rated
mm-hmm.
within this week, and that's getting really close to Star Wars time.
Oh, man.
And we kind of thought Civil War and Batman would be before Star Wars, or at least Star Wars week, but they kind of went a little early, and that could leave a little playroom for these other films.
Yeah, you know, if you're one of the lucky... people that were able to acquired reserve seating for your Star Wars movie. You know, usually you can be a little bit more chill about how quickly you can make it to the theater, but it seems like definitely make sure you're there before the trailers start, because you're going to have a really awesome time with movie trailers.
Yeah, that opening week, if you don't get there before, like, if you get there, like, when the movie's starting, you won't get a seat. Like, that's good.
Oh, man, can you just imagine that there's people out there right now that, like, want to see the Star Wars movie, and they just don't understand the calamity that's going around with it right now, and they're just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna show up on, like, Friday night and just, like, go up to the box office and just buy a ticket, like, 20 minutes before the movie starts, and they're not gonna understand.
Yeah, I wonder how many screens each, you know, theater will put towards Star Wars, because I see it being a huge moneymaker, so they probably try to get as many copies going as they can.
Yeah, there's basically if you're like a 10 screen theater, 9 screens is going to be for Star Wars, and like 1 screen is going to be for that new Point Break movie that no one cares about.
Yeah, if they even put that out there. I know IMAX is taking Star Wars completely for a month. Like mm-hmm. there are no other IMAX movies being put in theaters for a month after Star Wars is out. So that's quite a bit. And I don't know if I want to go see Star Wars in IMAX, but I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it just I think it just goes to show you how infectious Star Wars is, because we started a new segment about Suicide Squad, and then we've divulged into just Star Wars because we know it's like just 2 weeks away.
Well, I think Star Wars is great because it's bringing other things to us, mm-hmm. Like the Suicide Squad trailer, which we've only had one that was kind of a teaser because it was only Comic-Con footage.
Yeah,
so I guess this would be the first official trailer.
Yeah, and we, if I remember right, we weren't really supposed to get that Suicide Squad trailer. Like,
right.
If theoretically that trailer didn't leak out of Comic-Con, I don't think the public ever would have seen it.
Right. They would have seen, like, a revamped version come December. Mm-hmm. Like, they'd have just sit on it and not really... I expect this to be a brand new one, and we'll probably get a little bit more on the Enchantress and what the villain is.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious... you know, we have all these trailers that are supposed to be in front of Star Wars. It makes me wonder if maybe we'll get the Suicide Squad trailer, like, actually maybe on, like, a Tuesday or something, like, yeah. On YouTube.
Yeah, I think it'll be the week of, simply because there's so many territories where Star Wars is coming out in different days and times,
mm-hmm.
That they'll just put it online early that week, but it will appear in the theater first in front mm-hmm. of Star Wars. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to talk about that.
Yeah, totally, totally stoked. So what about Supergirl? You watched any more of that yet?
I haven't caught back up on the Supergirl train yet, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not ruling it out, kind of like how I've ruled out Gotham.
So I'm pretty much taking Supergirl out of my, like, ever hopes of ever watching it, unless I get a lot of time.
Hey, they might tie it in with the CW, with the Flash maybe, so we'll see.
Okay, so first update is that Supergirl now has a full season order from CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that crossover that the producer Greg Berlanti says there's a lot of legal issues because of the different stations. So a crossover is going to be trickier, but not to rule it out completely, but don't get our hopes up that it's going to be like the Flash Arrow crossover we just watched.
Oh, yeah. So it seems like, I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week, but it sounds like it might just be like a crossover for the sake of just saying that they did one. So it'd be like, oh, the Flash shows up in Supergirl's one episode, and maybe they probably can't refer to maybe any other characters. Maybe they can only just refer to the Flash. I don't know.
Or it'll just be a lightning blur through the streets.
Yeah, or like, I have a feeling whatever happens in the Supergirl show probably will not affect the CW shows at all. There probably won't be any ramifications.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I can see it being one of those alternate dimensions that Barry can kind of open up now.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl, I mean, Flash doesn't need Supergirl. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. It holds its own. Supergirl might need Flash if it wants to make it beyond one season.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of see that being the deciding factor.
Yeah.
If they decide on it.
Well, who knows? I mean, it did get the full order from CBS, so that's, I mean, that's good news, but CBS is going to have to make some hard decisions if it ends up not getting the viewership it needs.
It could, and it looks like it's going to be an expensive show. It's not going to be a cheap show going forward. But yeah, Supergirl, that's the thing. Deadpool, that's kind of what I'm excited for next.
Ooh, yeah.
It's our first comic book movie of 2016.
That's a big deal, and it's basically our next comic book movie, too, because Star Wars is great and all, but it's not technically a comic book movie.
That's right. So the new poster for Deadpool is hilarious. It says, badass, smartass, great ass, Deadpool. Well, he's grabbing his own ass, and he's got, like, the finger over his mouth, like, whoops, and a bright pink backpack, apparently. I mean, it says February 4th. I don't know what that means. I think that's the British release.
Yeah.
Because we're still scheduled for February 12th in America.
Yeah, well, also, if you look at the poster, too, at the very bottom, it points people to the Deadpool Movie UK Facebook page, so.
Yeah, because USA is still February 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to my next point. It will be opening up competing against Zoolander 2.
Yeah, I thought double feature when I first saw that.
You did. You gave me a great idea. So, Zoolander 2 is February 12th. Non-R-rated comedy, right? A cult comedy. So I imagine it'll probably get a lot of, like, Hangover 2 kind of crowd people. People who enjoy the Hangover sequels. And but Deadpool's rated R comic book films. I don't think that will hurt it, but I definitely want to see both of them. And it'll probably laugh my ass off that day.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the unfortunate thing about both of us having a podcast together is we cannot have normal conversations anymore, because you sent me a message earlier this week and you asked me, like, oh, which one would you want to see first? In which order would you want this double feature to basically pan out? And I was just like, wait a minute, I can't talk to you about this. I can only talk to you about this if we're actually recording it. So now we can finally talk about what you think would be the good order.
So I think you start with Deadpool.
Okay.
And then go to Zoolander 2.
All right.
Because, okay, Zoolander's good and great, but it's been how many years? Over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we're getting a sequel. And, you know, these comedy sequels don't tend to hold up very well. It's a precedent kind of set forward.
Yeah, I would agree with you that the precedent is not good. But at the same time, the only thing that makes me excited about Zoolander is that, first of all, the trailer looked way better than the trailers I've seen for a lot of these comedy reboots. Or actually, I kind of call them like comedy revivals, because they're not really rebooting them. They're basically trying to dig them out from the grave because now they're popular. So Benedict Cumberbatch in it, and he looks hilarious. So that's already a good sign. And also, this is, I believe it's directed by Ben Stiller. And I love the stuff that Ben Stiller's been doing directing-wise. And Ben Stiller's just hilarious all around. So when he's in charge of something, that usually makes me excited.
Yeah, I mean, no, don't get me wrong. Tropic Thunder is one of my favorite movies that he's directed, comedy-wise. So I think I don't think it's bad. I don't think it will be bad. I just don't think it will be nearly as good as Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
I think having that R rating and kind of like, you know, this is a fan project. Deadpool's a fan project, right? Mm-hmm. The studio gave him a minimal budget, like, just do something. And there's been a lot of love put into it. And I don't know how much of that love has been passed on to Zoolander 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I would see Deadpool first and Zoolander second. And then, you know, if it's not as good, so be it. I feel like I think that's the order I want to see it in.
So this will make an interesting topic because I would go the totally other way.
Okay.
So I am under the impression that Deadpool will in fact be the better of the two films. Okay. I mean, obviously you can't necessarily compare them. They're totally different types of movies. But I think
the number of laughs per capita will be higher than Deadpool.
But I think after seeing Deadpool, I'm going to be so hype. The last thing I want to do is go back into another movie. As soon as Deadpool's over, I'm going to do what I want to do with all these movies. I want to like text all my friends. I want to ask them what they thought about the movie. I'm going to want to go online. I'm going to want to see what the buzz is online. You know, I'm going to want to go see if anybody is talking about, like, maybe if there's like a secret ending to it. You know, I want to go see what Ryan Reynolds is tweeting about with the film being out. Like, I'm just going to be so amped on everything else. I'm not going to be able to sit still to watch Zoolander 2. And also, I don't want my after buzz of Deadpool being affected by Zoolander. I feel like it'll kind of conflict with maybe how I'm feeling about the movie. So I think Zoolander first, because like you can expect at least some meteoric laughs, the very minimum. And then, you know, you can go take like maybe like a half hour break, go get some more popcorn, get some drink, and then really settle into what you're excited for. And on a high note, basically, is where I'm going here.
But see, that's the problem. By the time 3 hours is rolled around and I'm going to that second movie, I will be exhausted.
Oh.
I would rather give all my full energy and attention to that first film.
So you're trying to tell me is you don't have the stamina.
No, I have the stamina, but like you're in a dark theater for, you know, a total of like, what, 4 hours that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be around. People annoy me pretty easily in a movie theater. I'm very, very picky. I'm not picky. I don't know. I like to focus on the movie. That's what I do. I don't want to focus on the world around me. I like to look at the screen and lose myself in that world. And if something takes me out of that, it kind of bothers me. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather just go ahead and get Deadpool out of the way early in the morning when no one's there watching it. Get it to myself, kind of, and then go see Zoolander. Because that, if I laugh and something's going on around that, you know, if I miss something in Zoolander, I'm not going to feel bad about it.
Yeah. But so, at the same time, I realize that this may be a totally moot point because, you know, we're going to try to see Deadpool probably on like a Thursday as soon as we possibly can. That, right. So we might not even have the opportunity to do a double feature of first looks. But either way, I know people out there probably will.
If I see it on Thursday and I do a double feature with Zoolander, Deadpool, I will go Zoolander first, Deadpool second.
Okay.
But if this is the only way I can do it, I'm going to go Deadpool first so it gets my full energy, then follow up with Zoolander. Yeah.
And you just do you also just realize how ridiculous this conversation is? Just as little as like a year ago, maybe a year and a half, who would have thought that we would have been able to see a sequel to Zoolander and a Deadpool movie
it's true.
In February and there, on the same day?
And there is no wrong answer here. Let's just be honest. There's no wrong answer because we're all winning.
Mm-hmm.
But that's awesome. Great Valentine's date. I would recommend anyone to take their you know love out to that, but okay, enough time on that. Let's talk about the next X-Men movie, X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, this has been trickling news wise. I feel like we had a little bit towards the beginning of the summer, and then after that, we were just cut off.
During production, there was a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Post production, it's kind of been quiet, kind of locked up.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer, this is one of the three trailers that has been rated and is at 2 minutes and 24 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And will probably drop before Star Wars.
Oh, I'm excited. I think they just need to make sure that they show Apocalypse in normal lighting so he doesn't look purple. I think they don't want to compare him to Ivan Ooze any bit more.
Yeah, they definitely have probably got some feedback. But I think this will be the first trailer for Apocalypse officially released.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because it comes out the same month as Civil War. So, I mean, this is the other big movie competing for next year. Because X-Men movies always bring in a lot of money, the main X-Men movies at least.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the next in the third movie in the second trilogy of X-Men films. Good lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I'm excited for it. I want to see more Apocalypse because I think that's a great story choice. And it's going to look awesome. And we got a banner image of Angel with his wings that are kind of metal looking. So yeah, I'm kind of confused what's going on here, but
yeah, I feel like this is possibly like Horseman inspired. Like this isn't necessarily going to be his like final costume, but maybe this is just kind of what he looks like when he's under control.
Yeah, again, we're going to have to figure it out because I think he comes in with... I think he starts off with a lot of the horsemen already. And but this is a... I mean, when we think of Angel, Archangel of the Apocalypse things, he's usually blue.
Mm-hmm.
And his metal wings are just kind of like regular wings, but metal. And these kind of look, I guess, fashioned, I guess. I don't know. Some of them look like knives. And this kind of looks like, I don't know, like a fake flying suit. I don't know. It's weird. It's not bad. It's just it raises more questions that I want answers to very badly. I mean,
you never really know what you're going to get with an X-Men movie, and you're never really quite sure the direction Bryan Singer is going to take anything. You know, he basically turned superheroes basically into leather-clad people when these movies first got popular, strictly talking about costumes. But now I feel like he's kind of come back around doing things a little bit differently. So I don't know. Bryan Singer, I'm a little nervous just because it's an X-Men movie. But if I'm going right off of Days of Future Past, which I really, really liked, I can be excited.
I don't hate any of the Bryan Singer X-Men films. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel horrible for this one. But, I mean, Apocalypse is a huge task to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready for it. Let's see it.
Oh yeah, this month is gonna be crazy for trailers. You know, if we're gonna be getting all of these trailers in front of the Star Wars movie, more than likely they're all gonna premiere like online a couple days beforehand. But if they all don't want to crowd themselves the week before the movie comes out, we could see one of these trailers pop up this very week.
I know. It's hard to think that we're less than a fortnight away from Star Wars.
Oh, Fortnite. You don't get to use that often.
I didn't. I was actually very proud of myself when I got to use it last Friday. But this is the week. There's one more trailer we're going to talk about later, but I think we're going to get one of them this week, if not two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then one or two next week.
Yeah.
Because... if again, Star Wars comes out on the 16th in the UK, that leaves us Monday and Tuesday of next week for something to drop online.
Yeah, and they're not going to release all these trailers on the same day because, like, from what I've noticed, like, news cycle-wise, you need at least 24 hours to let a trailer breathe without much competition. So I feel like they're going to do their best and stagger this throughout the next 2 weeks, which is exciting because, I mean, Civil War 1 week, Batman Superman the next week. We're going to... this is just a crazy month. I mean, this is just a crazy month that's going to show you how crazy 2016 is going to be.
That's right. And it's all because of Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
which is going to lead us into our next topic, Star Wars,
the Han Solo film. Star Wars!
Someone's a little excited for Star Wars Han Solo now, even though you weren't originally before. So Star Wars Han Solo film, right? We've talked about this. They have tested... over 2,500 actors for young Han Solo. Can you imagine that? 2,500.
I mean, I guess it's good that they're doing their due diligence. Out of all the Star Wars news, this is the one I'm most worried about because I've been rewatching the original Star Wars trilogy. Just watched Empire the other night, and I forgot just how truly infectious, how charming, and just how wonderful... Han Solo is in those original movies, and those are huge shoes to fill, or I guess boots to fill, since he wears boots in the movie. It's going to be a hard job for them to find someone that can encapsulate Han Solo. I do not envy that person's job.
So you just watched Empire, which brings me to our next point. Lawrence Kasdan, the writer, I'm pretty sure he wrote or directed
He wrote Empire, yeah.
He wrote Empire, is writing the Han Solo spinoff film.
So that's good. I mean, that's all good news.
And I think Han, like, in Empire, Han Solo's fleshed out the best of all the films. So that's why I give it a little, like, I'm okay. I'm like, okay, they're getting somebody who understands.
Yeah, but I mean, this is going to be our first instance of kind of a recast, I guess. You know, we kind of had... to cast new people to play them in the prequels, but there were characters that we never really seen before. I mean, obviously we had to do a young Obi-Wan Kenobi, but Obi-Wan Kenobi was only really truly in the first Star Wars film. I mean, he popped up as a ghost every once in a while, but I thought that casting went well because I really liked Ewan McGregor in that role. But we didn't have a whole lot of Obi-Wan. We had him a little, we had him help out a little bit in the first movie, and then it just seemed like it was easier to do because there was a lot left up to question. But we've had so much Han Solo. We've gotten to know him so intimately by now.
But that's the thing. We don't know his past. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a great area to explore rather than his future.
Oh, I totally agree. I think his past is going to be really interesting because he's been a smuggler. He's been, what was it, a Nerf herder?
No, he looks like a scruffy looking Nerf
herder. I wasn't saying he was actually one, but I mean, he's got a storied past, but I'm just very worried about who they're going to pick.
So of these 2,500, these are four big names that stuck out. Mm-hmm. Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Okay.
He's Quicksilver in Avengers. Miles Teller. Mm-hmm. Hey, that guy, he was Mr. Fantastic.
Yep.
Chandler Riggs from The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
He's Rick's son, Coral. And Colton Haynes from Arrow.
Yeah, so when I looked at all these names, the one that piqued my interest the most was probably Colton Haynes, just because I feel like there's a little bit too much baggage with these other characters that I can't quite get past. So with Aaron Taylor Johnson, he just doesn't – I don't think Han Solo.
He's a good actor, but he's not Han Solo.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as charming. I think he's kind of got the smarminess of it, but he doesn't really strike me as charming. Miles Teller, I can't really see him as Han Solo either. I don't really have any reason. I just see him and I don't think Han Solo. Carl from The Walking Dead. I mean, I guess if they want to go that young, it could work. But there's a whole lot of hate for his character in the earlier seasons, and I don't know.
He's the youngest actor, but who knows when they start filming this movie? It could be a couple of years out.
That's true.
Colton Haynes, I think, is the one that comes in my head the most of these four. I don't think any of them are good choices, I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Colton Haynes has the same look on his face in every Arrow episode I've seen him in.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he's a great supporting material, but he's not great leading material.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is what it comes down to. It's just like, can they truly embody what Han Solo needs to be? And I can't really tell yet because I don't think they've really been in anything that been similar. But I mean, obviously they're actors, they're professionals, they should be able to change themselves for the film that they're in. But Chandler Riggs, I need to see you with a haircut. You've had this long mop hair for like years and years and years. I don't even know what you look like without it, so I can't even picture him in the role. Really,
he looks like Coral.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, these are for the, this just means that, you know, out of 2,500 actors, a lot of big people are gunning for it, but I think they're going to take their time and pick the right person. I'm glad they're going through a lot, not just being like, well, we want this one person and sticking with it.
Yeah, and I will slap whoever says it should be Chris Pine. Not Chris Pine, Chris Pratt.
Either one, fuck them. We don't need either of those guys.
They're busy. I mean, Chris Pratt is already Han Solo in a different movie. He doesn't need to do everything.
And Chris Pine has Star Trek and apparently Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need him either.
Yeah, he's busy. But man, now that I think about it, you know, if Chris Pratt wasn't Star-Lord, if they picked someone else, Chris Pratt really would have made a good Han Solo.
Yeah. Well, that's why they got him in Marvel first. So glad for that. So we're going to jump gears back into Marvel. Agent Carter.
Yeah.
Okay. The premiere was moved.
Okay.
To January 19th. I don't know why. Maybe
was it put? Does he mean it was pushed back?
Yeah, it was pushed back, I think, that's 2 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. I think there's something going on in January, some other big TV event that's not related to like television shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they moved it back, like to just get more viewers. Nothing's wrong with the production. Nothing's wrong with the show. That's just the premiere has moved back and it's 2 hours.
Okay.
So we have a little bit of a longer break in our TV than I like, but if so be it, if it gets more viewers.
You know, I'm worried about your impending rage if an episode gets pushed because of
local basketball. That's right. I'm starting to find other methods to watch things. So I'll be okay. We share a Hulu account with my future in-laws. So
cool.
I get a lot of like The Flash and The Arrow. I get to watch on that rather than try to download it because that competes with my Shield and Muppet time. So,
that's right. You're still watching the Muppets.
Yeah, I am. We're not going to talk about that today. Agent Carter is exciting. There's a lot of promos coming on for it. I'm ready for it to return. I think it's going to be awesome, which is in LA, out where you are.
Yep.
Let's get back. This was in our opening title, the Avengers video game.
Oh, man. This is crazy out of left field news that was really excited to delve into.
So this is not the first time this has been brought up. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, there was some, I think it was like maybe 3 minutes of actual gameplay footage leaked from an Avengers movie tie-in video game.
Mm-hmm.
I own every Phase 1 video game tie-in for Xbox 360, and they all kind of borrow from other genres.
Mm-hmm.
The Incredible Hulk is the Spider-Man 2 video game, open world.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America is Batman Arkham games, but with Captain America. Thor is very much a kind of like a very linear, I don't know, like kind of, not an RPG, but kind of like you get abilities as you go, kind of deal.
Maybe kind of like God of War-esque.
Yeah, very much so. A lot of quick time events. They're not bad, but they're not groundbreaking.
They're all just basically kind of cash-ins.
Yeah, Iron Man's are the worst games. The Iron Man games are the worst. Don't play those at all.
Okay.
But the other three are tolerable. This video game actually took things and made them first person, and you played as the Avengers in first person mode.
Yeah, so basically a little bit of history, because this is all, we're getting all of this from a really, really cool YouTube video that was put together. I believe it's on Do You Know Gaming, which is a great channel. It's one of my favorite YouTube channels. But basically this was coming out of THQ, but obviously we all know now, if you follow video game news, that THQ went under basically because they made some bad decisions. So this is basically one of the unfortunate circumstances of that studio going under, is that we didn't get this game that ended up being first person action.
Yeah. So, the original gameplay, like this game essentially takes you and uses other video game, other Marvel properties, because the Fantastic Four are in it. You know, some of the mutants are in it, like Wolverine, and makes you face a Skrull invasion, essentially.
Yeah, and these Skrulls look really super awesome. Like, these Super Skrulls look killer.
Yeah, and they all have the abilities of other superheroes. And playing first person looked pretty cool, because it shows you some of the things you could look like. So, you know, if you're Thor, you have his hammer, and you can do that. Iron Man has his little HUD and his, you know, his hands and the Hulk smashes and such.
Mm-hmm.
And this video, like, kind of goes, there's so much concept art and, like, gameplay, like, examples.
Yeah, and not to mention, it was written by Michael Brian Bendis.
Yes, Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh, I always get that flipped around every time.
It's all right. He did write, I think, Secret Invasion. So he wrote the comic book version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he also wrote the other Marvel video game that's still going on, Marvel Heroes, for PC Mac. And honestly, I'm so sad that we did not get this Avengers game before THQ went bankrupt.
Yeah, it looked like so much fun, and I really like the idea that this game leaned really heavily on cooperative play. So basically, you would get all four of you together, and you would just all fight out a problem together, because everyone had different skill sets. I just thought that was really, really cool, and it would have been interesting, because there has just been a really, really long history of just third-person superhero games. I mean, they've done them well, they've done them bad, so this was really an original idea. And I liked how that they were sticking strictly with the Secret Invasion storyline, with the Skrulls being the enemy. Because, I mean, you have more experience with these Marvel superhero games. But from what I remember, is basically all of these games just go through a sequence of different villains. Like, they go through different baddies. There's not really one continuous villain throughout the whole game.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are some good games that are bad superhero games. And I hope to one day do a podcast on superhero games. I'm trying to own all the Marvel ones.
Mm-hmm.
But the Marvel, as a studio, did these Phase 1 games. And after Thor, or Captain America was the last one, they started putting focus on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of left the other ones kind of off, like, console games off the shelf.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. You know, the mobile space has a lot of money in it, and it makes sense for them to concentrate on that space, but it's just like, it would be fun just to have a killer AAA Marvel game.
Right, exactly, because again, we've proven that South Park can do it with the Stick of Truth,
mm-hmm.
another THQ game, actually. And I think, you know, Star Wars has Battlefront, which is a good game, and I think Marvel needs to finally just own up and be like, let's go in here and make a non-Lego console video game that just kind of breaks the mold. I think the thing I like the most about this canceled Avengers game is it was Secret Invasion, but no movie was Secret Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably made it a better game in the end if we were able to get it.
Yeah, and that's always the great thing when it comes to games is they don't have to worry about licenses, who owns what. Marvel's just like, hey, use whatever.
Yeah, Marvel owns the video game license, hence why we haven't seen an X-Men game in forever. Mm-hmm. I think X-Men Destiny was the last X-Men game for console, and before that was the X-Men Legacy games, which evolved into the Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I miss console games based on Marvel properties.
Yeah. Either way, I think our listeners should go check out our website and go through our show notes, and you can find this link to this awesome Did You Know Gaming video.
Yes. Please watch it and let us know what you would have thought. I'm kind of interested to see what's going on. Next up, we're gonna talk about Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, okay.
The most viewed Marvel trailer in 24 hours.
Yeah, we talked about this a lot last week, for sure.
Yeah, we did. 61 million views. And the Black Panther is now... you got a new cover on the EW. On the cover of EW.
Mm-hmm.
This picture is essentially the same one from Age of Ultron, looks like. The same Captain America Iron Man pose, and then some person in the middle, because the last one was Ultron. That's actually a Black Panther photo and not concept art.
Ooh.
That is not a drawing of Black Panther. That is him in costume.
I mean, it's such a sweet costume. I think there was another photo that popped up sometime last week, and it just looks like a super awesome costume. I love that they just, you can tell by the juxtaposition of this photo, putting him right in the middle, that he really isn't picking a side. You know, he's worried about Wakanda. He's a free agent. He's jumping around. He just wants to make sure that no one's going to fuck up his homeland. So I love that idea of Black Panther.
Yes, I do too, and I think this is a great image. Like, I don't buy magazines, but if I saw this one on the shelves, I might pick it up.
Yeah, no one's buying magazines anymore.
No, what do you call it? My periodicals. The other day when I talked about something, I don't know. We should really record what we talk about more often.
Yeah,
So Civil War. I'm excited. We won't get another trailer, but I want to see this one in theater. I'm ready to see this trailer in the theaters.
Oh yeah, big screen, baby.
Huge screen. What about Thor Ragnarok? What you know about it?
Ooh, we got some Thor news? I'm excited about this film.
They've added a new writer to polish the final script, which is standard process.
Mm-hmm.
Standard process. Because Christopher Yost and I think Chris Kyle maybe was on the first... Craig Kyle and Chris Yost were on the first screenplay. Which is, you know, that's fine. That's the story and getting the outline and all that fun stuff. Great. And then they usually bring in another writer to kind of polish the script. And this month they added Stephanie Folsom to finish it off and get it ready for production.
Awesome.
So they are finalizing the Thor script, which is awesome because that's coming up and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I always kind of look forward to Thor movies because I like the different change of pace. I like it when they take it to like a mythical realm. I like to get to know Asgard and those realms a little bit more. It's exciting to kind of be there off of Earth, even though they always bring the problems back to Earth. I just kind of like how it's a little bit separated. And then obviously I freak the fuck out when I know that we're going to get Hulk in this movie, which is awesome. A perfect combination. I just can't wait to see them smash stuff together.
Yes, exactly. And that's something I kind of bring up. Someone asked me if I thought the Hulk and Thor were going to fight in this movie. And I say, no. The last two movies the Hulk has been in, he has fought people on his own team. Mm-hmm. I think this one they will use the Hulk to their advantage and use him to beat the whatever villains are facing,
because
he could probably take on these mythological beasts and not worry about it.
Yeah, I could almost see like some sort of a magic user on Asgard, like trying to use magic to take control of the Hulk or Bruce Banner, and then he just says something kind of cheeky like, no, I'm not doing that again, and just like punches him in the face, and they just fly across the screen off into the horizon. I think that would be hilarious, because they have done it in like every single film. I think that's a good point to bring up. So they definitely should not do it again, but it'd be funny if they were kind of cheeky about it.
Yeah, saying like, this is kind of an overplayed trope. Mm-hmm. Let's not do it again. So, Thor Ragnarok, I'm ready for it. I enjoy the Thor films. I kind of hope Ragnarok stays away from Earth. A little bit, and brings back Loki. We want to see more Loki.
Yeah, we love us some Loki.
That we do. I also love Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is a pretty cool guy.
Apparently, there was a version in the early 2000s movie written by Neil Gaiman. Mm-hmm. And supposedly going to be directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh my god, that would be such a crazy movie.
These two together would probably give us the trippiest fucking movie of the early 2000s.
Oh my god. And could you imagine, like, so when did the first Iron Man come out?
2008.
Okay, so this was way before the franchise even started. This would have been so out of left field, so out of context. Like, no one was primed for any sort of Marvel movie, really. And
well, this would have, I don't think this would have been from Marvel Studios. This is like whenever Daredevil and Fantastic Four were all being optioned. Well,
no, exactly. I'm just saying, like, comic book Marvel movie in general. So this would have been so out of left field with such a character that people are so unfamiliar with. And to throw in these two guys making the movie, oh, man, it would have been crazy.
So, yeah, so Del Toro, I think, would have been awesome to use his practical effects in this. Mm-hmm. Because Hellboy, it worked for Hellboy, right?
Yeah.
And Neil Gaiman can really write some trippy worlds. Mm-hmm. If you've ever read Sandman, his Sandman series, even lately as he writes his new Sandman book, Overture, I think, which is finished, that's some trippy stuff. Like, you'd think you were on drugs reading it, but it's good. It's good. It's great. So I'm sad they're not doing it, but, you know, at the same time, I think it was a good reason not to, like, just
it would have been too soon.
Yeah, it probably would have been, you know, kind of like, I guess, Man Thing, the straight to TV sci-fi film they did, of a Marvel character, because, you know, mysticism really wasn't big in that era.
Yeah,
What if it tied into Blade? Because Del Toro did Blade too.
Oh, that would have been cool. It would be amazing to see a list of films that Del Toro almost did, because it would be a fact sheet miles long.
Yeah, all the movies he hasn't done that he's talked about doing, especially the, you know, that Pacific Rim 2.
Oh man, I wish we had some Pacific Rim 2 news right now.
That'd have been a great segue, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I want that movie so bad.
Well, how about we talk about another Doctor, Doctor Who?
Okay.
The only reason I bring this up is this is the first bit of news I got last week, that Peter Jackson, famed director of the Hobbit movies, mm-hmm. and Lord of the Rings, is to direct an episode next year for the Doctor Who.
All right. Good for the Doctor.
I think, you know, Peter Jackson might bring in a bigger crowd from his pedigree. Mm-hmm. I think you might be interested.
The only attachment I have to Doctor Who now is David Tennant from Jessica Jones, and I just love that my really only impression of him right now is as a super creepy bad guy.
Yeah, pretty much. He's not in it anymore, but I think, you know, I've not seen Peter Jackson do TV before, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of having the scope, the abilities of the Doctor would be very interesting for him, simply because, you know, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, you're probably a Doctor Who fan. Mm-hmm. If you're obsessed with one, you're probably obsessed with the other. And I feel like that's a very tight-knit group of people. Yeah. So I'm kind of interested in seeing what he can do with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm definitely not a Doctor Who hater, but there's just way too much. There's way too much back catalog for me to concern myself with that. There's a million other things I'll watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. I think it's interesting that they're getting bigger directors.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a good sign for the show if they can bring in someone like Peter Jackson. Holy crap.
So here's something, another TV show that you might be more interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Samurai Jack.
Oh, man. This was so awesome. And I love how this announcement just came out of nowhere, too.
So Cartoon Network announces a new season of Samurai Jack with the original creator, Jenny Tartakovsky.
Mm-hmm. And not necessarily Cartoon Network. It was Adult Swim.
Adult Swim, I apologize. But, I mean, mm-hmm. it's where it will be if you turn into Cartoon Network.
The channel, yes. The channel on your box.
So I think you're a big Samurai Jack fan.
Oh, yeah, man. That show was just so awesome. It was amazing that it even really existed. You know, when I think of awesome cartoon shows like Samurai Jack or Avatar The Last Airbender, I'm always surprised that they're even ever on TV, because I'm just like, I love this so much. It's hard for me to imagine that a bunch of kids like watching this, that they're selling a bunch of action figures and selling lunch boxes, because that's what I always assume is the main goal for a cartoon show. So when I'm watching them, I always really enjoy them because I know it's something special and something unique and something that might not stick around for a very long time. I mean, Samurai Jack definitely had more than a couple seasons. I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm just going to guess like maybe four. Okay, I was going to guess five.
They have four seasons and 52 episodes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just such a great show. I mean, they found a great way to put violence in a cartoon show by just basically using robots and motor oil basically as blood. So they found a good way to kind of make this kid friendly, but also making it very mature. I mean, man, there's some episodes of Samurai Jack where there's not even a lick of dialogue, where he's like trying to fight an archer at the top of a tower that can hear very well, so he doesn't speak and he tries to be really quiet. I mean, it's basically like every other episode is like a work of art, and it's just so great. And I really want to go back and rewatch it, because now that I think about it, I don't think I really caught much of the last season. And I know it didn't really end resolved, so we don't really necessarily know what happened to Jack or Aku. So I think this is just going to be great. And the awesome news, if it's coming back to Adult Swim, we're going to be able to get a lot more violent, which I think is great. Because a lot of the people that really fell in love with Samurai Jack and that are definitely excited about this are much older now, much more mature, and they want the more mature Jack. So I think this is going to be awesome. I mean, we need 10 seasons of this. I think if we just get one awesome season to kind of just fill things out and give us an ending to the story of Jack, I think that would be great. But I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's blown up. It's huge. I didn't watch a lot of Samurai Jack myself, but, I mean, it went from 2001 to 2004. 52 episodes, which, you know, according to your precedent, is a fairly well show. Uh-huh. To get that many episodes, you know, even today, getting, you know, that many is pretty good. Earth's Mightiest Heroes had 52 episodes, if you think about it. But it definitely is a continuation of the story, and at least it'll be back this 2016, so you don't have to wait too long to get it.
It's one of the great things where it comes out of left field. I didn't even know they were even thinking about this, working on it, and then all of a sudden you just get a little teaser video just out of nowhere, and it's just like, it's so cool when things like creep up like that.
Yeah, I think it definitely caught everybody off guard, and I think I don't know how well Hotel Transylvania 2 did, but that was the last Jindy Tartakovsky's movie.
Yeah, and the thing is, I really love that people were clamoring for a Samurai Jack movie. That's what people really wanted. But I think, honestly, it just being revived and coming back as a show, I think is the perfect thing. I don't think it really needs a big screen adaptation. I think it's a great cartoon.
Well, I think it's funny that this is his second TV show to come back in 2016, because he was a producer, director, and writer on Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it just kind of shows like how, I guess, relevant his shows were at the time and how much people want them to come back.
Yeah, he's a great mind. He's a treasure.
It will be he also did the Star Wars Clone Wars, the cartoon version. Mm-hmm. the not the 3D animated, the actual cartoon version.
Yeah, the micro episodes.
And Dexter's Laboratory, which that might come back if the other ones are, who knows.
Ugh, the dude's a master.
Yeah, also he worked on Iron Man 2 as a storyboard artist.
Ooh,
kind of throw that out there.
He's in all of our favorite things.
Yes, so he's been around a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that takes me to another TV show kind of in the works, mm-hmm. Rambo.
Okay.
This is something I didn't know people were clamoring for, but Sylvester Stallone wants to make a Rambo TV series.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who have infectious love for these these older action movies, and I mean, obviously there's a market out there if these expendable movies were able to capitalize on them. But yeah, TV series, I don't know.
I think he should just go with, like, he's making more Rocky movies, just keep making more Rambo movies, leave TV alone. Like, it doesn't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Predator does. Predator is on the new sequel script has been turned into Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from Shane Black and Fred Decker. Shane Black did Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that movie The Nice Guys, you told me to check out the trailer.
That trailer was pretty cool.
So we might get another Predator sequel down the road. I didn't hate the last one, which had Adrian Brody and the guy who played Venom in mm-hmm. Spider-Man 3. But Predator, for our Predator fans out there, that's coming along, which brings me to my third movie trailer. Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh, man.
I keep forgetting this thing actually exists. But the trailer has been classified the same day that Suicide Squad and Apocalypse was.
Man, I mean, this is so under a gun. I totally forgot that this movie even started production, and they even have stuff to make a trailer.
Yeah, it's done with production.
Man.
It's been done for a few months, yeah.
It just goes to show you how much news that there is out there that you just get so caught up with everything else that you just totally forget that they're making another Independence Day movie.
I think they're making two, but I don't remember anyone clamoring for a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Whatever. The trailer's classified. If we get it, we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Independence Day, I think it feels like it's a blockbuster, but it feels like it could definitely be like a superhero comic book kind of thing as well. Like a more comic book. Either way, last bit of thing, I want to talk about TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost done for the year.
Yeah, we're almost to our, I guess, mid-season finales.
Yes, the Flash Arrow crossover last week was not the last episodes, but that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's the prequel to Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, it's like the setup. It's like the first part of the alley-oop.
Yeah, I don't care for Hawkman, Hawkgirl. I can't say I'm sold on them yet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we don't want to get into specifics because we don't necessarily want to spoil it. If no one's had a chance to watch it yet, but there was kind of some flashback scenes with Hawkgirl and Hawkguy. Or Hawkman, that were just kind of like cheesy, but like there's always kind of a through line of cheese in these shows, so it fits in place, but it doesn't necessarily mean I liked it.
Yeah, definitely that was the hardest thing, but it was a really, really great two episodes. I'm gonna be honest, like if you watch The Flash, the first one, I think it's called Legends of Today, pick up the Arrow, the second part, Legends of Yesterday, and watch those.
Yeah,
like, you gotta watch them as one part.
Yeah, that's one thing that I kind of like, is they don't necessarily like, okay, this first half of the crossover, we're going to focus really heavily on the Flash, and this is going to be a standalone Flash experience, and then over here, we'll do a standalone Arrow experience. No, they just kind of like, we have these 2-hour blocks, let's do a two-parter, and just do the first half on Flash and the second half on Arrow. I thought it turned out really, really well. There were some funny jokes in there where I almost felt like maybe some Flash writers were kind of poking fun at Arrow writers. So there's a little tidbit in there that I really liked. But overall, it was really, really cool. I love how we can have these crossovers.
Yeah, and the last episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. is this week as well, the finale. And they go back to the Blue Planet.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, that planet episode earlier in the season was my favorite episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. that has been made yet. So I love that they're going back there. There's so much mystery there. I want to know what that mystery monster thing is. I mean, it has a human-type shape, so I have a feeling that the monster is going to be embodied by an actor, basically what I'm saying, in the second half of the season, which I think will be cool. Basically, I'm assuming that it's going to get off the planet and it's going to be a problem for S.H.I.E.L.D. on Earth.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, the whole premise has been Secret Warriors for S.H.I.E.L.D. this season. Mm-hmm. And we've not really got to see it yet, but I think this will be the reason we get to see them.
Yeah.
But this is, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. has really grown a lot this season, this half. And it's a quick show. Like, it goes. Like, it gets into the episode and it just goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Coulson pulled a Captain America and jumped out of the plane last week was awesome. There's a lot of subtle references, and I can't wait for this finale to give us more information.
Yeah, well, you are the one that told me that more than likely that this planet could be the Inhumans' homeworld planet.
My original thoughts were that this was the blue side of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
However, they've now called the planet, the planet has a name called Mavith.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nothing I've ever heard of in the comics.
Okay, gotcha. And do you have any ideas of maybe who this, like, monster creature might be?
Yeah, so there is one theory as a Inhuman called the Unspoken.
Okay.
Who was essentially the king of the Inhumans before Black Bolt came to power.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of sent away. Like he was, his rule was overthrown by Black Bolt, and he was kind of overthrown, and I think it's him because he has the ability to transform people because he's like the living embodiment of Terrigen, and I don't know, this is, it's very interesting. I think that's him, but I don't know. I can't really say going forward.
Yeah. Well, I can say I'm excited about the mystery. And any time that I can say I'm excited about S.H.I.E.L.D. is good, because I was so down and out with it for the longest time, and now I'm finally excited.
Yes, get you back in that game, man. Yeah. We're going to do that. Other than that, that's it for the news this week. Been a pretty good week, honestly.
Yeah, we got a whole lot going on, and this is no sign of slowing down. The rest of this month is going to be crazy.
Yes, especially with Star Wars, our Star Wars project we're working on, and you know, Star Wars spoiler cast.
Oh, it's going to be exciting, man. I'm so excited. You know, if they want to truly know how excited we are, where can they follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N. I might be live tweeting Ant-Man when I go purchase it this week on Blu-ray. and maybe Fantastic Four again. No, I'm kidding. but you can also go to comicui.com on our new design and find a Comic UI on Facebook, where we're getting a lot of that hate thrown at me, which is awesome. It's fun.
Throwing a lot of that shade.
If people agreed with me, it wouldn't be nearly as fun. So do that. So what about you, Mike? Where can they can find more about your stuff?
Well, they can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter and Instagram. I find a lot of hilarious vanity plates on the highways out here, and I like to tweet about them. And you can also read my webcomics at pickledcomics.com. So please go do that, and it'll be a good time.
Yeah, that's why we get along, because I hate vanity plates. And I used to Instagram the bunch of plates that I just thought were stupid. Mm-hmm. So that's why we work. But if they're not, you know, looking at your awesome drawings or learning about more stuff at Comic UI, where can they follow the Superhero Slate?
Well, as always, please visit superheroslate.com. That's where you can find us on all of our various digital avenues for the show. We are on iTunes, soon Google Play Music, YouTube with awesome videos accompanied by pictures. We're on SoundCloud, Tumblr. You can follow us on email. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Literally, we're all over the place. You can't miss us. If you're attached to the internet, you can get the show. And if you know, if you're a fan of the show, please consider going to iTunes and leaving us a review. It really helps us be seen by some more eyeballs. And if you're the super fan of the show, you share the show with a friend. If you know somebody out there that likes all this nerdy stuff that we talk about, drop them a link, superheroslate.com.
Yeah, totally. I think SoundCloud is kind of the way to go. I actually listened to our podcast. I listened to us on SoundCloud this past week quite a bit. So I'm really enjoying that. But thanks for listening to all those. And thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, stay tuned. This next month's going to be crazy.
Yes, and welcome to December. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.